Let us pray. Holy One, fill our hearts this day with the words that you need us to hear, either because of the words I speak or in spite of them. Amen. So today is the celebration of the Feast of All Saints. Officially, that actually took place the morning after Halloween, but we celebrate on Sunday. And in our heads and hearts, we hold two ideas of saints, or maybe more than that. Officially, Protestants understand the saints to be all those baptized who live out their baptismal faith. When St. Paul wrote his letters, he wrote to those he called the saints and gave instructions to the people about how to treat the saints, that is, one another in Christian community. On All Saints, we recognize the beloved friends and family, and we speak of the saints who have gone before us, meaning those who have died and live now before the throne of God. But we also hold another idea of saints, that saints are very special people, better than us, different, holier. The Roman Catholic Church has a very specific idea of what makes a saint, and they have a formula to test against fake claims. On Friday, Yoko and I had lunch with ministers from other denominations, and we asked one another as we were leaving about All Saints and who's a saint. All of us? Only someone who meets that Catholic formula? And as we were leaving, Gary Godin turned around and said, "Do you have to be a Christian to be a saint?" And in my reading, the very best description of a saint that I have ever heard has been given, remember this is the description, he's not the saint, is given by Canadian Buddhist Jewish poet Leonard Cohen, who says, "What is a saint? A saint is someone who has achieved a remote human possibility. It is impossible to say what that possibility is. I think it has something to do with the energy of love. Contact with this energy results in the exercise of a kind of balance in the chaos of existence. A saint does not dissolve the chaos. If he did, the world would have changed long ago. I do not think that a saint dissolves the chaos even for himself, for there is something arrogant and warlike in the notion of a man setting the world in order. But it is a kind of balance that is his glory. He rides and drifts like an escaped ski. His course is a caress of the hill. His track is a drawing of the snow in a moment of its particular arrangement with wind and rock. Something in him so loves the world that he gives himself to the laws of gravity and chance. Far from flying with the angels, he traces with the fidelity of a seismograph needle the state of the solid, bloody landscape." So says Leonard Cohen. And I really like this. First, because he reminds us that a saint is a human being who has achieved a remote but human possibility. Second, because he says that sainthood is about the energy of love. A person who so loves the world he gives himself or herself to the laws of gravity and chance. And third, I like it because it's such a Canadian vision of a skier on the crest of a hill, not dissolving the chaos of the snow, but drawing the track on the hill between wind and rock in balance with the bodily presence of the world. There are those people who seem to us to live their whole lives that way. And then there's the rest of us. We only hope to live that way for a day, maybe, or even moments in time, to find the balance through the present chaos and the present crisis. And we often forget to pray for that balance, and we forget to give thanks for the occasions in which we have found it. We chastise ourselves inappropriately for not being able to dissolve the chaos, or for not being able to find the balance once and for all. And we cannot forgive ourselves for not being able to trace with grace our track on the crest of the hill every day. And too often we can't forgive others that they can't either. And so we forget to celebrate those occasions when we participate fully in the energy of love. For those moments are genuinely fleeting. Not that we should be congratulating ourselves necessarily for those moments, for we have not created the love any more than we have made the snow. But having found those fleeting moments of wonder and grace in the midst of love, we should give thanks. We are prevented from seeking those moments again when we focus only on how we don't do it well, or when we nurse our anger at others for their inability. It's said a picture is worth a thousand words. And the image of balancing and beauty by the energy of love on the ridge of snow between rind and rock, that's one of those images of sainthood that will live with me and inspire me. And in the Bible, usually, dreams also are given to us as images, pictures painted with words. Daniel's dream is like that. He paints a picture of the emperor and all the oppressors as beasts inspired by the figure of chaos. But then he says, "As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne." That's sometimes translated the Ancient of Days. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels were burning fire. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him, and the court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Now, if you ever wondered where that image comes from of God as an old man with white hair, this is it. And if you wonder where the image comes from of the saints robed in white surrounding the throne of God, this is it. And even though this was written 150 years before the birth of Christ, here is the image that we so often see of Jesus the Christ descending from heaven on the clouds. Daniel says, "As I watched, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented to him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingship of all peoples. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away." Daniel was writing to a people in crisis and despair, in the clutches of a Syrian dictator, torn apart by civil war, beset by the most terrible excesses of religious hatred and violence. Sound familiar? And he wrote to the people that there would yet be a life in God that is possible, and that there would be judgment, and that evil would be destroyed, that before God the beasts that were the rulers and the kings could not stand and could not prevail. The images that Daniel uses are not comfortable for us mainstream North American Christians. And in some parts, it appears so violent and so terrible, and it is. And in other parts, it's just too fantastical for us. And we read only part of it this morning. If you read the whole of the passage, it's even more fantastical. So if you read the rest, keep in mind that in many parts, it is an allegory, and the images were political and religious, and they're symbols that no longer make much sense to us. But still, for all that, the intention is recognizable, that God prevails, and that God would send one like a human being who would be given dominion and glory and would reign forever. And today, with the rulers and religious ideologies of the world fighting by proxy in Syria while the people suffer, It seems like a reenactment of everything Daniel wrote about. William Blake pictured the dark bat-winged serpent figure hovering over the beasts until comes the Ancient of Days. And I think you could see that figure today in the smoke and the clouds over the skies of Damascus. It's certainly a place that needs saints, and there are some. Only one out of about every 500 doctors stayed in Syria. But the ones who stayed are still there. There are saints there. There were saints in Daniel's time, and there are saints wandering about our streets who don't even know that they are. As I said, we have these two different ideas of saints that we have inherited, one that all the baptized who seek to live faithfully are saints, and another that a saint is something more and something special and someone beyond us. Even within that idea, the idea of the saint as something special, we have a contrast, because there is this grandiose image of the saints in glory surrounding the throne of God. And on the other hand, we hold the image of the saints who are living in the midst of the mud, buried in the worst the world has to offer, in the hospitals of Damascus, in the slums of Mumbai with Sister Teresa, dwelling with lepers with St. Francis, or perhaps in jail with someone like Dorothy Day. And whether it's Paul's description of the saints in the churches, or the Roman Catholic formula, or Leonard Cohen's description of those who live balanced by the energy of love, they hold this in common. They're here in the world. The saints, you and me, and the ones who seem to live more successfully in grace than I do, all live in the world. In the chaos and the darkness and the dirt and the difficulties, in the midst of doubt and in confusion and frustration. And we know from our history that the saints do not dissolve the chaos. But living in love, balanced on the edge of that snowy cliff between wind and rock, somehow they are able to navigate the chaos and bring hope to the world. The sainthood that we aspire to is not to live outside of the world, outside of the chaos or the darkness, or unaffected by it, but to somehow live in love within it. We may not be able to live like saints every day or all day, but the saint releases themselves to love actively, for that moment reaching into the chaos. The saint so loves the world that the saint gives himself or herself to the laws of gravity and chance, and far from flying with the angels, traces like a needle the state of the solid and bloody landscape. We do that, surrounded perhaps invisibly by the saints in light, the presence that we sometimes feel at the oddest times. Those saints who from their labors now rest, except we hope, we pray, to cheer us on, to inspire our hearts, or give us remembered examples of moments of grace. Neither we nor they could be saints all of the time. But perhaps we can aspire to be saints some of the time, knowing that although we live on this solid, sometimes bloody landscape, God sees us through Christ as those saints in light, with all the possibilities we are given to shine. Holy One, provide to us the energy of love that we may move toward sainthood. Amen. And so